The New Factory Thinker by Bill Bishop. Chapter 24. Conceptual Value. Hundreds of books have been written on change management by business professors and management consultants, but only one was a bestseller, a little book called Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. It's the story of four mice who find that their cheese has disappeared from its usual location, never to return. It's a cute tale that teaches a powerful lesson. When things change, you need to accept the fact and look for new opportunities. Who Moved My Cheese was a global success because it provided conceptual value. The story of the mice gave people an easy-to-remember analogy to use whenever change occurred in their own life. Our cheese has moved, we need to change too. This concept, packaged as a parable, empowered people to deal effectively with this issue. That's why Johnson's book sold in the millions, and the other more academic books on change management didn't catch on. While they surely contained reams of well-researched data and case studies, the other books didn't empower people to actually do something about change. That's why conceptual value creation is another massive opportunity for new factory thinkers. It's my conjecture that most added value created in the future will be conceptual. As the world becomes more complex and people are inundated with an explosion of information, images, and ideas, strong communication of clear concepts will be prized and richly rewarded in the marketplace. New factory thinkers who work skillfully with concepts, metaphors, and analogies will stand out from their conceptually confused competitors. That's why the big idea is the central component of a new factory. It's not a product or service. It is an integrated package of concepts that captures the imagination of your customers. Clearly communicating the big idea not only helps you attract more subscribers and members, it also provides value in itself. To explain what I mean, let's pretend you are a manufacturer of electronic components for the automotive industry. Your company has a lot of great customers, but you face strong competition from overseas. You are looking for a way to differentiate yourself by providing your customers with added value. You realize that conceptual value might be the answer. To this end, you develop a big goal, to help automotive manufacturers double their profits. You then identify the big problem: auto companies do not optimize the electronic systems in their vehicles because they don't entertain out-of-the-box ideas. Your signature solution is to empower auto companies with creative ideas, insider access to best-of-class strategies, and a one-stop store of electronic components from around the globe. You call your big idea the Inside Innovator. But this is just the beginning. You then work out your anti-model and model. You precisely delineate all of the issues that limit the profitability of automakers and identify the core problem, which you title the legacy limitation trap. This diagnosis points to the fact that most automakers typically make incremental improvements to their cars year over year, and as a result they fail to make significant leaps in engineering design that could have a huge positive impact. You also fine-tune your model, which you call the Innovation Ignition Model. The model proposes a new organizational process for idea generation and innovation management in the auto industry. To communicate your model and anti-model, you take inspiration from Spencer Johnson and his mice in Who Moved My Cheese and decide to use an analogy. Because you have a hobby as a magician, you elect Houdini to be your conceptual symbol. You find a picture of Houdini shackled in chains hanging from a crane. This image represents the creative strictures suffered by auto companies caught in the legacy limitation trap. You then show another photo of Houdini after he has miraculously liberated himself from the chains. This photo represents an auto company that has embraced the innovation ignition model. The analogy is powerful because it points to the universal tension between fundamental polarities: oppression and expression, imprisonment and liberation, rigidness and flexibility. Armed with your package of conceptual value, you communicate your message through a diverse set of channels. You produce a video, an ebook, and an email newsletter. You host webinars and produce a podcast. You give speeches at industry conferences. Through these efforts, you notice something important. Your Houdini concept captures the imagination of your prospects. They are intrigued by your banner showing Houdini in chains with the caption, "Are you caught in the legacy limitation trap?" They want to know what it means, and when you explain it, they get it. "That's exactly the problem we have," they say. We've never thought about it before, but it's true. Our existing design process is limiting our potential. They then invite you to set up a meeting, and over the next year, you help them develop an innovation ignition system in their companies. This work helps these members streamline their innovation processes, resulting in greater efficiencies and more exciting product offerings, both of which boost profits. This example shows the power of conceptual value. By using the Houdini analogy to communicate a big problem, you get prospects to act on it. You are then able to help them achieve the big goal by empowering them with the needed resources, knowledge, and guidance. But the key point is, your skillful packaging of the concept made it all happen. If you had not communicated your ideas well, the prospects wouldn't have understood it or acted on it. As such, you actually provided your members with most of the value in the first 30 seconds. That's why I say, in the future, as new factory thinkers develop greater conceptual expertise, most of the value in the marketplace will be conceptual in nature. Everything else will be merely implementation. One way to develop your conceptual packaging skills is to use the fork in the road method. Imagine that you are at a fork in a road. Your potential customers are streaming towards you at the fork in the road. Most of them are passing you on the left, which you know is a bad idea. You know that the road on the left leads to a dangerous fall off a cliff. You also know that the road on the right is much better. It leads up a mountain towards a wonderful place called Happy Land. You want to take people to Happy Land, but you realize you have to first stop them from taking the wrong road. So you put up a big sign that says, "Stop. Don't go over the cliff." Fortunately, lots of the people notice the sign and stop to talk to you. You explain about the cliff at the end of the left-hand road, and the horrible fate that awaits them if they fall off it. You then explain how wonderful it is in Happy Land. Using these concepts, you empower them with a clear choice: to take the wrong road and go over a cliff, or take the right road to Happy Land. And based on your clear communication, a large number of the prospects elect to take the road to Happy Land and hire you as their empowerment coach. As we discussed in the previous chapter, this means they make the climb on their own with your guidance. When they arrive at Happy Land, they are very grateful that you were standing at the fork of the road and did such a great job convincing them to take the right road. Sadly, many old factories actually help their customers take the wrong road. In fact, the wrong road is lined with vendors hawking their products and services. They don't care if the customer falls off a cliff as long as they make a purchase first. I know this sounds harsh, but isn't it true? It's not that old factory thinkers want their customers to fall off a cliff, they just don't see the problem as their responsibility. But that's not what new factory thinkers do. They make money by stopping people from going over a cliff, and they do this primarily by providing conceptual value. This principle has its roots in the fact that people buy ideas, not products or services. If they like the idea associated with a product, they buy it. If they don't like the idea attached to a product, they don't buy. Most of the time, this exchange of ideas and concepts is subliminal. The customer does not know that they are acting on an idea. They think they are making a rational decision. But that's how the marketplace works, even the old factory marketplace. But in the new factory marketplace, this principle is taken one step further. Ideas and concepts now provide value in themselves. They do not need to be attached to any product or service. The value of the concept is determined by how well it informs and motivates the customer to take the right course of action. This conceptual empowerment helps the customer avoid their big problems and achieve their big goals, and along the way motivates them to purchase many products and services. When it comes to conceptual communication, brevity and precision is key. You need to catch the attention of your prospects in 3 seconds. You then have 30 seconds to engage their interest. If you still have them at that point, you have 3 minutes to tell the fuller story. If you haven't captured their imagination after 3 minutes, you will probably lose them altogether. So keep it quick by finding exactly the right words to use. Cut any superfluous details. Get to the point. Consistency is also important. Once you have a story that works, stick to it. Don't change it because you get bored of telling it. Remember that every person is a new audience. They haven't heard your story before, and they need to hear the story that works. So think about the fork in the road your customers are approaching. What is the wrong road? What happens when they go over the cliff? What is right road? What is it like in Happy Land? Then work on explaining these concepts in the most effective way possible. Use metaphors and analogies. Hone your language. Use interesting images. Be bold. Take chances.